about that life jacket. I'll never forget one time I got off work on third shift. I know you don't want to hear this, but it's going to do you good. I got off work on third shift, and I told old boy Jason Smith, lived down Mulberry Road, I told him, I said, I got a jet ski with an inner tube. You want to go ride? And he said, yeah, let's go. Got home, got Brandy, woke her up. I said, we're going to the waterway. We got over there and opened the seat up on the jet ski, looked in there, only had two life jackets. There's three of us. I told him, I said, I tell you what we'll do. We'll put a life jacket on Brandy. Me and you won't wear one. We're going out there and play on that inner tube. He never said a word. We got all three got on that thing. And I ain't but 21 now, 2021. Amen? I wouldn't do this now. I'm not that stupid now. We got out there in the middle of that waterway, and I got on that inner tube, son. They got to going crazy, threw me off. I come up. They have a life jacket on. Come up and there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Climb back up on the jet ski. He got on that inner tube, and I told Brandy, I said, let me have it. I'm fixing to put it to him. He didn't have a life jacket on. I'm doing all that jet ski can do, and he won't let go. The tube flip over. He's on it. Come back up on the other side. I finally let up on the gas. I hollered, fall off. He said, I can't swim. I said, get him in the boat. Get him in the boat. Son, we grabbed a hold of that thing. We started pulling him in the boat. And I said, why didn't you tell me that you couldn't swim? Man, you could have died. He said, I couldn't tell you because I've been embarrassed. You know, there's a lot of folks in here right now. You don't even have a life jacket on. You don't even have a life jacket on. You're living life dangerously. You say, that's dangerous. You're more dangerous right now living without Christ Jesus. You're in more trouble right now living without Christ Jesus than that man was over at the waterway on that inner tube. You're more dangerous right now. He said, preacher, what would have happened to him? He would have died. He would have drowned. We couldn't have got back to him. Folks, today we're right here telling you about Jesus. You don't have to drown in your sin. You don't have to drown in your sorrow. You don't have to drown that way. There's life, and his name's Jesus. Amen. His name's Jesus. Boy, I wish she was in here, man. When she told that story, I thought about that. And, man, whoo, we ain't going to ride jet ski today, but we are going to talk about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke, if you got the Bible with you, Luke chapter number 2 this morning. It's what God's laid on my heart this morning, laid on it all week long. I want to share it with you. I want to be very clear this morning. I want to be correct. I want to be exactly where the Bible would have me. Luke chapter number 2, I've preached this title many a times. And as I went back and I looked at this week, man, it just stirred my heart so deeply. And so it moved on me once again. And I want to share it with you this morning. Luke chapter number 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 40. And I want to share something with you this morning. Don't you lose sight of Jesus. Don't you lose sight of Jesus. Hey, we may be entering into the summer season, and I know a lot will be going on, but don't you lose sight of Jesus. Don't you get your eyes off Jesus. Don't you assume that he's in the building. Don't you assume that he's right there beside you. Don't assume them things. It's better to know it than assume it. Amen. Assuming things will get you in trouble, but knowing things will take care of it. Amen. Have you ever assumed somebody was mad at you? You didn't know if they was mad. You didn't have a clue if they was mad. You seen their attitude and they act kind of ill when they walk by. And you said, they mad at me. Right off the bat, they mad at me. And then when you get to talk to that individual, they ain't mad at you. Man, they got a wisdom teeth that needs to be pulled. It's been hurting for 3 weeks. The doctor can't get to them. So their problem ain't with you. Their problem's with something that they got going on. So this morning, you make sure that you got it going on with Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter number 2 and beginning in verse 40, I ask you to stand. As we reverence the reading of God's word this morning, and the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, and both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, this day was unpromised, and I thank you that you still allowed us to have it today, Father. I still thank you that you put air in our lungs to be able to come on this day and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray this morning that you would have your will and way in this service. I pray that you would guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything that I would say this morning be all about you. Father, I pray that you would heal the brokenhearted. You would save that is lost. Lord, you would move in a mighty way, like a mighty rushing wind. Lord, I pray this morning that your will be done. Father, I pray the things that we go on after church, we leave them for after church. But right now, we've come to worship, Father. We've come to see you high and lifted up. And Lord God, this morning, I pray you have your will and way. I pray I get off not the text, but I stay right where you'd have me to be. Father, I thank you this morning that you are my safety net. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my Master. You are my King. You are my Lily of the Valley. You are my bright and morning star. You are who I'm not this morning. I thank you for that. And I lift up your name above every name. Father, for the next few moments, you comfort your people and you help them. And I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning, I want to preach just a subject this morning that may do your heart some good. Don't lose sight of Jesus this morning. Can I say to you that there's a lot of people that, hey, they go about their life on a daily basis and they go to and fro and they do what they do and they go to church on Sunday and go on Wednesday and go on Sunday night. And you know what? Hey, God ain't never showed up with them. He's never met with them. They're doing everything that God, they say that is of God, but God ain't in amongst of a lot of things that are going on. Hey, can I say to you this morning, I thank God that he's here this morning. Can I get an amen? I thank God that he just don't meet with me on Sunday, but he meets with me every day. Every day that I open my eyes and I get to see him high lifted up, I thank him for that this morning. Hey, but can I say to you, hey, there can come a time in your life that you get out on life's highway and you get marching down the road and you get doing your thing and you take your eyes off Jesus and you just keep marching right along, and it won't be long. You'll be way over there in a foreign country. You'll be over there out of the will of God, and you'll turn around and you'll want to know where Jesus is, and he'll be right where you left him. He'll be right back over there where you left him, and you took your hand off the plow and you left him laying over there. Friends, can I say to you this morning that we serve a mighty God this morning? Amen. And there are some things, and I want you to know that when you get to that place and you take your eyes off Jesus and you take your eyes off what he's called you to do, and you get looking around, there'll be some things that you'll miss in your life. He's been there. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I got it firsthand experience. Amen. Hey, there's problems arise in my life, and I've handled them time and time again without prayer. I've handled them time and time again without prayer. And you know what happened when I handled it without prayer? It was a chaotic mess. It didn't go right. It didn't go the way it was supposed to go. But then I get back in line where God would have me to be, hooked up with Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know God moves in a mighty way. You say, preacher, if I take my eyes off the Lord, or I get to a place where I'm not doing as I ought to do, what are some things that I lose in my life? Number one, this morning I want you to know, when you get your eyes off Jesus, number one, you'll lose his presence in your life. You'll lose that presence. You won't feel him like you used to feel him. You won't have that intimate of what I'm talking about, that one-on-one, that closeness that you have when you feel him right there on you, breathing down your neck. Look what the Bible says. And when they had fulfilled the days in verse number 43, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. What did Jesus do? He went back over there. He had went over there. Can I say to you this morning, wherever Jesus goes, you need to go. Can I get an amen? Hey, wherever he leads, I will follow. Brother Garrett, though none go with me, still I will follow. He said there that he had went back and they didn't know it, and said they had been on a day's journey. One whole day in their life, they had went without the presence of Jesus in their life. They had went on with their family and their kinfolk, and they went on down life's highway doing what everybody else does. Hey, can I say to you right now, don't you do what everybody else does. That's what's got the world in the mess we're in now. Can I get a witness? You do what Jesus has called you to do. He lost his presence. Look what he said here. But they supposing him to have been in the company, in verse 44, they went a day's journey, one whole day without Jesus. Can you imagine going a whole day without Jesus? Man, I can't imagine going 1 hour without talking to my Lord and my Savior. I can't imagine that in my life, what he does for me. And they sought him among their kinfolks and their acquaintances, and they found him not. They went looking here and they went looking there. They went looking everywhere. Can I say to you this morning, if he's not a real in your life as he used to be, just go back where you left him, and that's where you'll find him. Whoa, glory, hallelujah. I know this to be a fact. Just go back where you stopped praying and he'll be sitting right there. Just go back to where you quit reading your Bible, and I promise you, you'll pick back up right there. You'll pick up right where God is. He said that presence wasn't there in their life. I thank God for the presence of God that is on my life, don't you? I thank God for the presence of God that is on my life, that he lives inside of me. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You say, preacher, can a child of God get to a place and they don't feel the presence of God in their life or on their life? If you've been saved any amount of time, you'll know that that is true. Hey, there's times it feels like he's a million miles away. There's times it feels like he don't even listen or he don't even answer. And every one of them times in my life, I have come to find out he is never the problem. I'm always the problem. He's only the answer. Amen. I see the presence ain't there. So they went a whole day. They got looking. They couldn't find him. Oh, they went looking here, went looking there, and couldn't find him. Said after they come back after that day's journey, it took them 3 days to find him. And when they got looking for him, they said, his presence ain't where it used to be. In this place, I'd say there's times his presence ain't like it ought to be. Why? It ain't got nothing to do with him. It's got all to do with me and you. He'll show up where he's wanted. Will you go somewhere you ain't wanted? No, you won't go where you ain't wanted. But when Jesus is wanted, he'll show up. Amen. It don't matter if the preacher's qualified. It don't matter if the deacons are qualified. It don't matter if the church is worthy. It don't matter if the song service is good. When he gets ready to do something and people of God wants him to move, he'll take that big old hand, he'll clear him a spot off, and he'll just do something right there. Amen. He'll show his presence right there in your life. But I see not only his presence there, but I see his power was missing. His power in their life was missing. His presence ain't where it used to be, and his power wasn't there. Folks, I'm telling you, if you've ever been hooked up in the Holy Ghost, can I get a amen? If you've ever been like you ought to be with Christ Jesus, I'm talking about after you got saved, you got walking with him, you got fellowshipping with him, you got right where he needs to be, you got right there with him. I'm talking about hugged up with him. He's hugged up to you. Can I get a witness this morning? And then you get away from that. You're the most miserable person in the world. Hey, can't nobody stand being around you? You can't stand being around yourself. Can I get a witness this morning? Hey, this morning we come in, I'm talking about when the presence ain't on you and the power ain't on you. Miss Melissa come in this morning. I done apologized to her, asked her to forgive me in the name of Jesus before I ever got up to preach. I was sitting over here this morning. I've had one of them weeks. Can I get an amen? You ever had a week? If you ain't, you can get you one in a couple weeks, amen. Hey, man, I'm telling you what, them moved chairs in here and had them flags up there where they're supposed to be. Ryder done acted up and didn't act right. And I done took him in the back room, hit him about 5 good licks on that bottom. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen to me, that's the way I'm going to raise mine. I'm going to let him know when he ain't right, he going to get that tail tore up. Can I get a witness? Hey, I want you to know the Bible teaches that, and that's what I'm going to stand on. He come out, he was crying, I was snotting and carrying on. I sat down, and Sister Melissa didn't mean nothing by it, but I'm telling you, she said this. She said, who in the world is how I interpreted it? Put them flags right there. I spun around there and I said, that was me. I put them there. I'm the one made that mess. And as I got done, he said, that ain't how you talk to somebody. Hey, you straighten yourself up. You in the presence of God this morning. You get hooked up in his power. You go to that girl and you tell her that you're sorry. So I went to her. She said, preacher, I didn't think nothing about it. I said, don't matter if you did, sister. The Holy Ghost has wore me out. Amen. There's been times in your life he's been all over you. His presence has been right there on you. I'm talking about, son, right there on you. And his power has been on your life. He's been wearing that old head out, wearing that old ticker out. And you know what you do? You keep sitting there. You keep sitting there because one little word won't let you move. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. He said he got looking for him and couldn't find him. The presence was gone. The power was gone. Look with me on the power here. What was gone in his life. Look what was gone in their life. The power. They were still his mom and daddy. Huh? Said, no, Joseph wasn't his dad. He was his earthly father. He wasn't his heavenly father. He said, no, he didn't have nothing to do with it. Him and Mary was together. Let me give you this, and I want to show you this. Let me show you this. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Here's his power. He was sitting in the midst of the doctors. That's what Jesus can do. He can come in here, no matter how educated you are, he can sit down with you. No matter how uneducated he is, he can sit down with you. No matter where he is, no matter who you are, he can sit down with you. Ain't you glad of that? You ain't got to have all this for him to sit down. He said, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and the answers that he gave. I see his presence and I see his power. He'll blow them away, son. But let me show you this. Look at his purpose. Here's what his mama said. She said his presence was gone. They didn't know where he was. Have you ever been there? You just didn't know where Jesus was. Man, everything's going on. It feels like nothing's going right. His presence, his power, but look at his purpose. Look what his mama said. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said, get this, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father. She said, your father, Joseph, your father, your earthly father here. Even though you was not conceived by him, even though he had nothing to do, he's still your earthly father here. He said, your earthly father. Get this morning. Listen to me. Look what he said. Go away. He said, why have you done it, son? Why have thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And you know what Jesus told her? He said, you and my father's worried about me, but I'm just doing my father's business. If you want to be right where Jesus is, child of God, you do the Father's business and you'll be lined right up with Jesus. You do exactly what the Father has told you to do, and I promise you, it'll be okay. He said, don't lose sight, number one, of his presence. Don't lose sight of his power, but don't lose sight of his purpose. He has a purpose on your life, and he don't want you to lose sight. The greatest thing Satan is doing to people that are born again right now, he's getting your eyes off the cross and putting it on the crowd. He's getting your eyes off the cross and off Jesus Christ and getting on with everything that is around us. Don't let him do that in your life. Even though Jesus had done got away from him, look what happened here. Even though they done left him behind, look what he said here in verse number 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? He said, why'd you come looking for me? You know where I've been the whole time. You know I've been about my father's business. This morning, can it be said that about you? If they go looking for you and they try to find you, where will they find you at? Will they find you in the honky-tonk? Will they find you with something on your phone that shouldn't be there? Will they find you with a woman that's not your wife? Will they find you with a man that's not your husband? If they went looking for you, where would they find you at? If Jesus is in your life, let me tell you where they ought to find you at. They ought to find you at the feet of Jesus. He said, know ye not that I'm about my father's business? He said, preacher, what are you talking about there? Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 19:10. He said, what is the business of the fathers? What is the business of the father? What is the business of the father? Don't you lose sight of his presence in your life. Don't you lose sight of his power. Greatest thing, I got this. That's the worstest thing you can say. For the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I see the presence, I see the power, and I see his purpose. This weekend we call it Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow will be Memorial Day. But I heard a story told of why it's even come to Memorial Day. It used to be called Decoration Day. Decoration Day. And I read a story this week that in Columbus, Mississippi, there was a cemetery And two women went out to that cemetery. It was for the Civil War there, North and the South, Confederate and Union. And said they went out to there to do what they were supposed to do. And all them soldiers that's there, some known, some unknown, some didn't know, they took flowers. And they take that. They had one purpose when they went out there, and that's to put flowers on that grave in remembrance, not to forget what they had gave, not to forget them peoples, their presence and their power that they had to help them and their purpose. As Brother Kelvin's done said, some gave, all gave some, but some gave all. And said they went out there in Columbus, Mississippi, out there to that grave, and they started putting them flowers in them Confederate soldiers' graves where they were buried. And as they got laid, that was their purpose to put it there. See, that was their purpose. But as they got putting it there in them graves, they come to some more graves over there. And one of them mamas that was there putting them flowers down went over, a Confederate mom went over to the Union there, to that grave, and said she just knelt down and went to put a flower on that grave. And when she went to put that flower on that grave, that other mother said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" She said, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" She said, that was the enemy. That was the enemy. That was the enemy. Said, "Well, this is we're a Confederate. That's a Union soldier. We're putting on the Confederate, not the Union soldier." Says she planted that in about three up, four or five down through there. And she said, "Yeah, but that's somebody's son. That's somebody's loved one. That's somebody's family." You see, she didn't let what was going on around her lose sight of the main thing. This morning, can I say to you, number one, don't you lose sight of Jesus. I see so many people doing this that used to be on fire, used to be in the house of God. Now there's empty spots everywhere. Some on vacation, I understand. I'm not getting on that bandwagon this morning. Or my wife says sometimes, my daughter, that soapbox, I won't get on that. But listen to me, not everybody at Miss is out on vacation. Not everybody at Miss is sick. Not everybody that misses is hurting. You said, "What's going on, preacher?" They've lost sight of Jesus. They lost sight of Jesus Christ. So how do you know that? You can be a preacher and lose sight of Jesus. Don't you kid yourself. You can be a deacon. Deacons, you can be a deacon in here and lose sight of Jesus. Doing what you do because just what you do. Don't do what you do because you do it. Do it because of who you do it for. Christ Jesus. If you get in the routine, you're just doing it because that's what you do. Listen to me. Number one, His presence won't be as strong as it used to be. His power won't be like it used to be on your life. And you'll forget the purpose that He's called you to. But the last thing I want to show you that I've seen in this text is that she lost sight of His position. She lost sight of His position. I believe what's wrong in a lot of Baptist churches, I can say this because I preach at a Baptist church, is a lot of people in the church has lost sight of the position that Christ Jesus holds in the church. The pastor is not the highest in the church. Jesus is the highest. Deacons, you ain't. Hey, I get another job tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Deacons, you're not the highest position in the church. Worship team, whoa, glory. I can't help it. You're not the highest position. Anybody that puts themselves over Christ Jesus is in the wrong. If anybody should be lifted up in this local body, it should be Jesus. If anybody's going to be lifted up, it is Jesus. It's His presence, His power, His purpose, and His position that we're here today. Said He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're saved in here, there's a time in your life you was lost. You was just as filthy as the next person. Well, I've never done that. It don't matter, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. I want to show you the position that they lost sight of. This morning, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why God put this on my heart, but He's been working me over with it too. You make sure that you're just right in His presence, man. You ain't worried about who's sitting beside you. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your kids. Don't worry about it. You ain't got nothing to do with that now. This morning, it's personal. This ain't got nothing. It's personal. It's private. Don't you worry about your spouse sitting beside you. You're accountable for you. Don't worry about your kids. You're accountable for you right now. And you make sure that His presence, you feel His presence like it's always been. So sweet, man, so strong. You make sure that power's all over your life. When you walk in and something ain't right, people quit doing it because they know you're in the room because Christ Jesus' presence is all over you. This morning I walked in, Brother Bradley said, "My goodness, you're hot. It's radiating off of you." I've been in prayer this morning. I didn't want to brag. I didn't want to do that when you told me that in front of the whole class. I was going to tell you privately. Because, man, it's been a while since I've been right in the presence of Almighty God. Brother, it's been a while since I've been right where His power would be in my life. Stand week in and week out in that pulpit. I want you to know it don't take long to get going through the motions. And it don't take long sitting in these pews, you get going through the motions. And when you do, it gets stale and it gets stagnant. And nothing will happen in your life. You make sure you've not put yourself higher than the position you're supposed to be. Let me show you. Let me show you. And we'll close on out. Let me show you here. Oh, glory. Look with me in verse number 51. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." And Jesus did what? Jesus increased. Doesn't matter if I increase. I must decrease that he may increase. When they finally found him and got back in love with him, holding him, loving on him, he started increasing. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." He said, "Preacher, how am I going to get in favor with God? Only through Jesus. How am I going to get right with God? Only through Jesus." I'll close with this. Stories told about Abraham Lincoln sitting in the Oval Office. Said he was sitting in the Oval Office and there was this man outside and his son was going to die. He's going to be put to death. And he's sitting outside crying and weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. He go up to the White, wanted to get in. They wouldn't let him in. You just don't walk in to see the president, by the way. You just don't have that authority just to walk on in. Same way it is with God. You have no authority to walk on in unless the blood's been applied to your life. Jesus Christ, He is our high priest. He is what allows us to walk in, to go into the presence of Almighty God. He said that man was out there weeping and he couldn't get in. And the only body that could help him was the president. And he begged and pleaded to get in and couldn't. And this man was just walking by one day and seen him out there again. And he asked him, he said, "Man, what's going on?" And he told him, he said, I need to go there. I've got to get there. I've got to get in his presence. He's got all the power. And if I tell him my purpose and what I got going on, his position's higher. I got to get to him. I got to get to him. He said, "Come on, I'll take you to him." He said, "Huh?" He said, "Come on, I'll take you to him." He thought, "He's kidding me. There's no way he can take. How can this be?" He said, "Come on, I'll take you to him." Said he grabbed him by the arm. Said they walked up to the White House front doors, walked right on in. They stood down. He walked in with that man. They stood down. Walked on in. He stood down everywhere he went. When he went to the doors to go in where President Lincoln was, he opened the doors. Said he looked up and he said, "Hello, son. How can I help you?" He said, "What is that, preacher?" Where that man couldn't go, the son could carry him. Where that man couldn't go. Where that man couldn't get to. Where that man can't get in his own power. He can get there through the blood of Jesus because the Son carries him there. The Son carries him through. The Son puts you in His presence. The Son puts you in His power. The Son gives you a purpose. And the Son is the one that puts a position in your life to give Him all the glory. This morning, if you need to get to the Father, come through the Son. It's the only way you'll get there. This morning, if you're sitting here, you say, "Preach, I don't understand a word." You say, "Come on up here and I'll explain it to you a little clearer." That Jesus, you can't lose sight of Him. He is the only way. The Bible said He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. Nobody. Nobody comes through Him. He said, "I've not done it." Don't matter what you've done, you can't go unless you go through the Son. Can I say to you, even His own mama had to go through the Son. Mary had to go through the Son. Had to go through the Son. I don't know why my heart's so heavy this morning on that situation, but somebody in here is struggling. We're hanging on. But Garrett, just hanging on. They're struggling. We're just hanging on. Just hanging on. You're just hanging on by a thread. You're just hanging on. He said, "Preacher, I can't." Yeah, you can. When you line it back up with him, you just get right where he'd have you to be. Have you a heyday, I'm telling you. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. This morning, if you've not been in his presence in a while, I can say to you on the authority of God's word, you can come to this altar and you can get in his presence. If you'll get real with him, he'll get real with you. I promise you that. If you've not felt the power on your life in a long time, I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. I'm talking about power. I'm talking about Son that sets the captive free. Boy, you can get that power this morning. So how do you know that? I know that this week as we went to down to that rehab. The men got to preaching. That young man walked up there. Kevin Young walked up there. Brother Brad was praying with somebody, and Kevin Young's just standing there, and the Holy Ghost told me, he said, "Go talk to that man." And I just walked up to where that man was. Man, I'm telling you what, if I had not been praying, asking God to move on my life, I'd have still been sitting right there in that same spot and never talked to that man. I walked up there and put my hand on his shoulder, and he just broke. I said, "Man, you okay? Man, you okay?" "No. Man, I'm lost, and I need to be saved. But I don't know how. Everybody comes in here, but nobody's told me how. I need to know how." And I thank God there ain't three ways. I didn't have to show him three different kind of ways. You can do this. No, the world's given all kind of ways. If you don't like this brand, get you another brand. If you don't like this wife, get you another wife. If you don't like this husband, get you another husband. If you don't like this, everything, whatever you want, you get. But not with Jesus. There's only one way. One! I told him, I said, "Son, I'm glad there's only one way, and I can tell you that this morning." And I took my old King James Bible and just laid it down there, and I took him to Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. And I told him, I said, "Kevin, right now, if you truly in your heart want to be saved and you're tired of living the way you're living, and you want God to come in here, I said, "Son, do you believe that you're a sinner?" He said, "Man, ain't no doubt, I know." I said, "Do you believe Jesus Christ can save your soul?" He said, "I believe that." I said, do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on the third day? He said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "Well, the heart man believes when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you willing to ask Jesus to come in your life?" He said, "Man, he's wearing me out." I didn't lead that man in a sinner's prayer. He just prayed. He got real with God. It wasn't no repeat after me. It was just come as you are. And Kevin Young that day come and gave his life to Jesus last Tuesday night. Got born again. I tell you what, that young man, he got born again. You can see it. 50-something-year-old, I called him young. He's older than me. But he gave his life to Jesus. And I seen the power of the Holy Ghost come down on his life. This morning, if you've got your eyes off Jesus, why not come to an altar and get them back on him? I'm telling you what, it'll do you good in your life to get your eyes right back on the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. I thank you for the holy hush that is on this place this morning. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for what's going on in people's life. Lord, I know right now all you've called me to do is distribute that word, give that word out, and you are the manufacturer. You're the one that makes all things go. And Lord, I pray this morning if they've won lost, that they get saved. Lord, I pray if there's one backslidden, that they get back right with you. Father, if there's one out of will with you, out of fellowship, Lord, I pray they get that fellowship back, Lord God. Nothing worse than being out of fellowship with the Father. Lord, I pray this morning, whoever I'm talking to, I pray your presence is sitting right by that pew. Maybe they're on the fifth pew from the back. I don't know, Father. Maybe they're on that fifth pew, squeezing it to death right now, holding on to it, got a grip, thinking that's going to do them some good. It won't do them a bit of good, Father, till they let go and let you have that will in their life. Lord, this morning, whoever it may be that's sitting there, Lord, won't you get a hold of them? Lord, won't you move them to that old-timey altar? Lord, won't you save that soul for that one that's ready to go already, Father? Lord, I'd pray right now that they'd just be praying. That one that's already in fellowship with you, I pray they'd be praying for that one that's under Holy Ghost conviction this morning. Lord, I pray your will be done. I thank you that you're high and lifted up. Father, I thank you this morning. You don't have to be bragged on, but I sure like bragging on you. Lord, I don't have to cry out. You let the rocks do it, but I sure am thankful you'll let me. Lord, I don't have to be the pastor of this church, but I sure am thankful that you let me. Lord, I'm just thankful that you saved my soul from a devil's hell. Lord, that one that don't know it this morning, let them come. Let them come. Lord, if that one is saved, it's time to shout and woo, dance about, because you've been better than good. Father, I do love you and I do thank you. It's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. All of God's people said. Amen. I ask you to stand.